this morning was a little bit different than what he usually does. So I'd like to kind of take you with me on a journey. And the very first scripture that he brought me to was in 1 Thessalonians. So before we go to that word, I'd like you to just bow your head with me. Lord Jesus, for those who are listening to this message, I ask that their eyes and ears hear what your Spirit is speaking to your people. And what your eyes perceive, what your hearing registers, will come alive by the Spirit of Revelation, the glory of our God, in Jesus' name. This message, I believe, is going to hopefully let you see that Jesus is the Spirit of Revelation. How many know everything that happened to our Savior is everything that's going to happen to His church? And the sequence of time, that's what He was showing me this morning. The sequence of timing would be very similar because of the circumstances that God allowed. In our Savior's life, we would also live it as a body of believers, multifaceted. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. This is where I was. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians 4. What did I say? Well, I got that on my mind too. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Okay? It says, verse 16, "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangels and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." The dead in Christ, the dead in the anointing, will rise when? First. And as I read that, I had a snap vision. You know what a snap vision is? It's just a little tiny picture of something that registers and resonates within us. And I was instantly in one of the Gospels where it says that when Jesus was dying on the cross, there was a resurrection. And I said, "Ooh, God, that's cool." So I'd like you to go with me there. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. "And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit." When Jesus had cried out again, he's on the cross, okay? He's just said earlier, my God, why have you forsaken me?" So he's having a problem with his soul, amen? "When Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. And verse 51, "At that moment, a curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open." Listen, the tombs broke open, "and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tomb. And after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people." When did that happen? Before Jesus was taken into heaven? Why would that be important today? Sometimes we underestimate God. Those who are in Christ will hear the trumpet of the Lord, and they will rise first. I happened to participate in a funeral this week and officiated another. Cliff Winspear yesterday, Darlene King Shea on Thursday night. So has God got his mind on the dead or on the risen? And the timeline that was important in this is as Jesus is on the cross and he's crying out, the next level is he is then resurrected, but when do these come out of the grave? When he gave up his spirit. Is that what I understood? At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn, 51, in two, from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs were opened, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city. After his resurrection, they went into the holy city, not before. What does the Amplified say there? Who's got the Amplified? Rita? 51.
And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split.
Go on, 52.
The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life.
Oh. How many saw on the news this past week thousands of bodies buried alive? The earth shook. On the internet, the Elijah Task sent out a message from the gentleman who prophesied over a lady who he did not know of her background, and he actually was baptizing her, and he had her word, and he began to feel the shaking of the ground, and she happened to be Chinese, and come to find out, he was actually prophesying her home city. He had no idea that's where she was from. And she released this prophetic message to her family. And from what I understand, got her family out of danger because they obeyed. Are you ready? Are you ready to listen to a word of knowledge and then obey no matter what the consequences would be? I remember the very first time I read The Happiest People on Earth. The gentleman who actually started the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association wrote a book. He was brought up in one of the, I'm not sure which country, I don't remember, it's been too long. His name was Shakarian. I'm not positive, but I think it might have been Armenia. And he and his family belonged to a small church in a small, little, tiny village. And a young teenage girl, where's our teenage boy there? Our teenage girl is over there too, right? A young teenage girl. Got up in the middle of the worship service and began to prophesy. And she prophesied over that church that they needed to sell and get out of town now. They had like 2 weeks, I think it was. something like 14 days. Demas Shakarian's father literally said, I believe this is God, prayed with his wife and family. They agreed they would sell. God, all it had to do was to provide a buyer. A few days later, an army person came to their farmhouse and said, we'd like to buy this farm. He said, we've been waiting for you. And if I remember correctly, so don't quote me, you can get the book. I'm sure it's still available. It has a lot of details in it about they're leaving that country. And within 2 or 3 weeks, an army of revolutionaries took over their whole nation. And Demas and his family went through a lot of persecution, but they landed in California. And when he was a grown, mature man, became the president of the Full Gospel Businessmen's Association and transformed a great deal of men and women of God that were chosen to transform our nation and the nations around us. Why am I saying that? Because a woman, a young woman, gave a word, and they heard. They heard. Jesus is speaking through St. Paul, telling us the dead in Christ, will rise first. That has a double meaning for me. Meaning, sometimes those who have no life of their own, but simply anointed of God, work together for the well-being of the whole body. They're dead to their own ideas. They're dead in Christ. Plus, the ones that are physically dead in their flesh, no longer living in the flesh, but living in the realm of the Spirit, are waiting. For what? To come back to here. To minister here. What were they doing in Jerusalem? They were appearing in different homes. What were they doing? They were preparing those that lived in Jerusalem because eventually that city would be destroyed. Okay. If you had heard the phone call from the young Chinese woman to her family, would you please get out of town now? Would you have obeyed, or would you have said, oh, there goes our daughter, not too swift. Ha, 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 she's just a kid. Or would you have obeyed and packed your bag? Ah. Brings a lot of questions, doesn't it? It stirs within us. Would we obey if we had a message from God to do something? How do we start? By obeying with the little things. By obeying with the little tiny things that may be seeming so insignificant. They may be insignificant to you, but they're not insignificant to God. What was will be again. What is he trying to do? He's trying to create a house of prayer for all nations out of us. And if we are obedient to the Holy Spirit, if we do the little things he tells us to do, we will be able to move many into freedom. You may say, who am I? Well, does the little toe have a great deal of help to balance you? Yes. Try removing your big toe. Try to walk without it or have it nice and sore for a few days and see how well you do. How many of you have ever had a sore foot? And you're limping along and the whole body is suffering because you've got a sore foot. Okay? I hurt my index finger this week. And for 3 days, it's been throbbing because I didn't care for it the way I guess God wanted me to. Last night, I finally gave it a good dose of medicine. Wrapped it up. For the first day today, I can touch it. And it's pretty good. It's not so hot. It makes me jump. If you're jumping in the body of Christ, then maybe you're a little bit too sensitive. Maybe you need to sit in the presence of God for a little while and let him soak you up with some good stuff, huh? And to prepare you for resurrection. Why am I releasing this to you today? I believe that he's got a lot more, but in Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. So you might take a peek at Daniel now, okay? Take a good peek at Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Daniel is prophesying about the end times. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Same subject, resurrection. Same concept. Some to judgment, some to what? Everlasting life. You see, I believe that we have this weird concept that we're living in this earth and that's all there is. That we're alive for the moment and we better enjoy the moment because tomorrow we could be done. Cooked. But the scriptures constantly tells us of something that's going to happen. Resurrection will happen. It's not going to be a maybe. It will happen. And those who have been obedient to the Lord and have been in Christ will be obedient and carry out what he wants for them to carry out. I want you to go to John chapter 5, verse 28. We're going to be doing 28 and 29. John chapter 5, verse 28. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in the graves will hear his voice. All who are in the grave. Some are in the grave and they're not even in the grave yet. How many have a few people in their family that are in their grave? And yet they're still walking around. I call them dead men walking. Okay? They're walking, but they're not alive in Christ. What are we waiting for? Are we waiting for something special to happen so that we can wake them up? We can't. The voice of the Lord has to come to them. A trumpet has to be what? Blown in their ears and in their hearts so that they'll come alive. Verse 29. And come out. Those who have done good will rise to live. And those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. Cut and dry. Nothing in between. Why should I live a perfect life? After all, if I don't have any fun in this life, I might as well just die now. Well, yeah. If you really mean business with God, you'll have the best time of your life being his witness. You will be so full of love and so full of compassion for those who are wounded and hurt that you won't be focused on what you haven't got. You'll be focused on seeing them come to life. Put your hand on your heart. Close your eyes. Lord Jesus, give me a vision of seeing my dead family rise to life and to resurrect them out of their grave. They don't even know they're dead yet. But they don't have the life of Christ. And I can't change them. I want to. I've tried. It didn't work yet. But you keep me in obedience. And I will stay in the body of believers. And as I intercede for my brothers and my sisters in Christ, God will resurrect my family. Salvation will be for them as well as for me. And I thank you, Lord, that I won't forget this vision. The very ones that are hurting the most need the resurrection the most. So let that trumpet blast now. Coming right out of my mouth. Let that trumpet blast now. I say to my family members, live in Christ. Come alive in Christ. Come alive now. Resurrect from the dead now. My trumpet is open, Lord. Show me when to speak. Show me when to give them love. Show me when to give them compassion. And when the compassion and the grace comes, their eyes will open, their ears will hear, and their spirit will respond. Acts 16:31. Salvation is mine and for my household. Not some and in and out, but all. Saved, transformed, resurrected into life with a purpose to live for eternity. Hallelujah. Not eternal judgment, but eternal victory. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. For your glory, Lord. What you did for me, you'll do for them. Hallelujah. Got the message? Tell your neighbor, they're resurrecting even now. Acts 24:15 confirms it. You can check it out if you want. And I believe that as Jesus was in his body, the timeline of his crucifixion is like us in the body of Christ. First, signs and wonders and miracles will take place. Then, persecution, and God will protect us. Then the earth gave up the dead, and they will rise first. And they will appear to many, just like it did in the days of Jerusalem. I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us something. The dead in Christ will rise first. And I believe it has a double meaning. I believe that as you walk in that freedom, I believe that as you trust His Holy Spirit take you higher and higher, that it's going to reignite you to really believe that He's more than able to take care of those that you love. Those that you hold in your heart have not been forgotten by God. Do I agree? Do you agree? So those who are dead will rise first. Those who are dead in their graves will rise first. Some are spiritual graves, some are physical graves. It doesn't matter. The transformation will take place when the trumpet of Christ. Yes, are you ready?